And I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Richard Battle joining us today as he does on Fridays. Richard, how are you this week?
John, I'm doing great. We appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Always a joy having you. I learn something every time I have you on, and look forward to it each week. It's a great segment always. Let's talk about, though, Veterans Day being tomorrow and things that have gone on in our history. And it's one of those days that I hope we never forget. I tend to feel like we put a little less meaning and emphasis on it year after year, and I hope that's not the case. I hope I'm wrong, Richard.
Well, I think that is the case, and my sense of that's part of the reason I wanted to talk about it, because it's so important for we adults to train our children and grandchildren so that they can appreciate the sacrifice of millions of people going back all the way to the Revolutionary War who gave us what we have today. And if we don't do that, then they're going to think it's always been like this, and it will always be like this regardless of what our behavior is, and that's when we get in trouble.
Yep, you are exactly right. So first, Veterans Day evolved from the first Armistice Day on November 11th, 1919. Talk about that.
Well, I think that the war to end all wars, and we know how that finished up. We've had so many wars afterwards, but they were trying to commemorate on November 11th, 1919, the first anniversary of the end of World War One. And later in 26, the Congress recognized it, and it became a holiday in 1938. And then in 1954, it was changed to Veterans Day to celebrate veterans from our entire history, not just the First World War. And I think that's so important to celebrate and thank everyone.
Well said. And as we, so I'd have to go back and do the math, but we're going on roughly 102 years. Am I saying that right?
Well, that would be correct from the first Armistice Day.
For the first Armistice Day.
From the yep. first, from the end of the war, yes.
So we as a nation are, with the exception of times of the military draft, we're a volunteer service military, if you would, where, you know, like Israel, for example, they have, and I think they're still doing this today, Richard, at least they did when I toured there a while back, and that is when you're of age, you go into the military for 2 years, period, in the country of Israel. You have no choice. It's not a volunteer military, is my point.
That's correct. And since 1973 is when the last draft ended, and we've been all volunteer, and that makes it even more impressive in my mind.
I agree.
As you know, there's been up and down times in our country, and for people to continue to volunteer to go serve and put themselves on the line up to the ultimate sacrifice just says so much for our country and the heart of our people.
And we've had, you know, over those years, of course, Richard, men, women, young, old, you know, some even so young they shouldn't have been there but faked their way in. That probably couldn't happen today. We've got a little bit different checks and balances, but we've all heard those stories as well. And I was watching a video earlier this morning, and I sent it to my boys. I was just in awe. This was a gentleman that had fought in the Korean War, and it starts off where he says, before I knew it, I don't know what had happened prior to that and how the story went, but what he said was, before I knew it, I was 3 feet away from a Chinese, you know, a military person, you know, from a Chinese soldier. And he went through the list of things that he did at that point, and honestly, the amount of Chinese that he actually killed and what he did in the trenches, and this guy's talking about this like it was yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, first of all, he was probably a very, very young man at the time, and I'm thinking, who would have the wherewithal to do what this guy did, and literally, in the face of danger, to protect the individuals around him? He actually found a gentleman on the battlefield, another one of his fellow soldiers, that was so badly wounded he couldn't walk. He throws him over his shoulder. The Chinese are chasing him, and he takes him, and the gunfire is going off, and they're literally shooting at him when this guy's over his shoulder, and he runs this guy all the way back down the hill to the medics. I mean, the story in and of itself, Richard, is just breathtaking.
Well, that is a breathtaking story, and there's so many. There's millions of stories, and of course, I sent some of the famous ones to you. I had lunch yesterday with a friend who was, when I was telling him about coming on today, he shared his story of World War II. His uncle he never met, Henry Koloseski, and he was a 19-year-old kid, just like the song you played at the intro. 19 years old in 1944, ends up going on the Normandy invasion and gets killed in Saint-Lô, France, in July of 1944. And here he was, just a young farm kid, scared to go, but despite the fear, he went and did his duty, paid the ultimate price. And there are millions of stories like that through our history. And that's the thing that's impressive, because not all of us have been in that position.
That's right.
So my appreciation grows every year for the people that have been, are, and are doing it day after day.
Talk about the ladies that have also served, because we tend to, and I don't want to, please, anybody listening, I don't want to make it sound like we're ever skipping over any of those individuals. There was a lot of great ladies that were in the service, and even during World War, you know, One and Two, Richard, whether that was serving, you know, on the lines or behind the lines. I mean, whether they were nurses and supporting in that way, you know, so many different things that they did and so many roles they filled. We can't forget about them either.
No, and I think the most important takeaway for me is the heart for service is not just in the males.
That's right.
It's the ladies as well. And there are stories going back to the Revolutionary War of Deborah Sampson, who dressed as a man so she could fight.
Wow.
And Dr. Mary Walker in the Civil War, who was a nurse and a spy and the only woman ever to receive the Medal of Honor.
Wow.
And in World War One, the nurses, actually Spanish-American War, World War One, there were 35,000 women served as nurses and other things, and that helped hasten the adoption of the women's right to vote. And in World War Two, not only the military, but so many of the Rosie the Riveter stories where women went to work in the factory so they could free up men to go fight on the front, because our country was in mortal danger at that time. And what if you've never read the book or seen the miniseries, The Man in the High Castle, the premise of that was how the U.S. would be if we would have lost World War II and half the country run by the Japanese and half the country run by the Germans. And it's a fascinating look just to kind of see what we were spared because of our veterans.
Mm. Wow. I mean, this stuff just gives you chills thinking about it, Richard. At least it does me. I'm so thankful for those that served and gave us the country that we have and, you know, really the freedom that we have to even you and I be on air today doing what we do. I'm very, very thankful. Just puts chills up and down me. I know tomorrow is Veterans Day. We're talking, you know, about that even today. Talk about some of the other, you know, volunteer military that had huge achievements in our history as a country.
Well, we have stories of people. Joshua Chamberlain from Maine, who was a theologian and a professor at Bowdoin College, volunteers in the Civil War, becomes a great hero at Gettysburg, and the action that he led that day and the bravery that day may have turned the tide of the Civil War in the Union's favor. So, and he was not a professional soldier. We hear this Audie Murphy, who became an actor. But here he was, a scrawny little kid who was turned down by two services, barely got into the Army, and became our most highly decorated serviceman in World War II. So there's all those kind of stories. Travis Mills in the War of Terror, he lost three limbs, and now he does motivational speaking because he wants to share with people, if I can achieve certain things after losing three limbs, you can too.
Mm-hmm.
So he inspires people even after leaving the service. And that's the heart of the veteran generally, is to serve. And I don't want to overlook the families as well.
Amen.
And thankfully today there's better communications. But when I think of the people that went off in World War II and were gone for four or 5 years, never got to see or telephone their family, period.
That's right.
The sacrifice is incredible.
It is. It's huge.
Ball players signed up and gave away the best years of their career. Ted Williams, for example. So many stories of service and sacrifice.
Agree. And what you just said, I know just a short amount of time, I had a son of mine in Afghanistan in just a short time where you had no communication, you know, 6-8 weeks at a time, which seemed like an eternity. I can't imagine, Richard, what that was like back in the days where you didn't even have the modern communication we have now. It would just be a mind-wrenching. And then some of those families to not ever hear from them and then have that knock on the door, that dreadful knock on the door of, you know, other servicemen telling them what had happened. I mean, I just can't imagine what that would be like.
No, absolutely not. And of course, there were stories, the five Sullivans from Waterloo, Iowa. They went and were stationed on the same ship, and that ship was sunk, and all five sons died on that ship.
Wow.
And there was a movie made in 1944 about them, The Fighting Sullivans, which it's just incredible when you think of the sacrifice that family made.
Huge.
To the service. And, of course, now they have a rule where
right.
brothers can't serve on the same ship because of that.
Right. Yeah, good changes have come out of some of those things as well. Richard, this is great. Again, Veterans Day tomorrow. I want to make sure that, we all remember that, we highlight it, and know it's not just about going down to the furniture store and getting a discount, Richard, or getting a discount on a car or whatever the case may be. It's all of this that we need to remember, not just the discounts at the local retail center.
Absolutely. And as I told someone, if we see somebody in uniform or if we see someone we know serve, thank them.
Amen.
I've never had a bad experience saying thank you to someone.
Me neither. I've never
had
that.
If you have a chance to buy them a cup of coffee or
That's
a meal,
right.
If their family's with them, thank the spouse and
That's
the kids
right.
for their
right.
their dad or mom's
That's
service
right.
because they need to know their parent or brother or sister, whoever, is a hero.
Amen. Amen. Richard Battle, again, it's a joy having you.